AM 1490 WGCH in Greenwich. Sean Kilkelly back in the studio, and we thank you all for tuning in tonight, especially those who are congregating somewhere in Greenwich listening to the radio station and the game. Without further ado, let's bring in a man you know very well from the MSG Network, Mike Quick. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Sean, how are you, buddy? You get the short end. They kept you back in Greenwich. You couldn't go south.
They needed to make sure that everything ran smoothly here.
That's it. You always keep the A-team home.
Right. So, Mike, it's great to talk to you. Everybody knows you from the MSG Network and all the great work that you do with them. And, you know, tonight's game between Greenwich and Naples, you have two undefeated teams going up against each other, probably the premier game this weekend in high school football.
No question. Anytime you get one of those border things going, the question I have, are we going to be able to get any tape of the game? That seems to be a big problem as far as tape, and I love how two teams that have never played before, this thing has turned into an unbelievable rivalry already because coaches trying to tape teams, other coaches not being allowed to tape teams. So this should be a lot of fun. You know, there was a good one last night up in Seymour, Ansonia, the state's number one ranked team. We happen to have Greenwich above them in our poll. We get a lot of heat for that, but I think we're right. I think the Cardinals are a better football team. Ansonia won that game last night 20-12. I'm sitting in the parking lot over at McCannon High School right now, ready for to find out who's going to play Greenwich either next week or on Thanksgiving Day, Staples or New Canaan. But, yeah, I think the intrigue of a team up north going down south, taking on all that speed, yeah, that's the premier game in the state, no doubt.
And, Mike, there has been a little bit of criticism about Greenwich going down to Florida to play this team, that if Greenwich loses the game, it's kind of a, at least from what I've read on some of the message boards, what the critics are saying, it's sort of Greenwich has nothing to lose. So if they go down there and they lose this game, no big deal. But if they win it, then they can be treated as, you know, heroes. I don't necessarily agree with it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think any time given the opportunity, and that's why I give Richie a lot of credit for doing that, there's a lot of coaches out there, which I have a major problem with, that try to protect records and they try to go unbeaten. You know what? If Greenwich goes on and wins a state championship this year, maybe they beat Southington High and that would be a great game. They'll remember going down to Naples. If they can go down there and beat them tonight, they'll remember that more than the state championship. I think other than, I still think a league title means so much in Fairfield County, but this will be a memory that lasts a lifetime, getting on a plane for their first time, going with their buddies, spending the night, playing a game against competition they've never seen before. I give them all the credit in the world. And all those naysayers, you know what, get out and enjoy high school football. You know, I think sometimes with the power programs, everybody points a finger and things like that. They're so quick to judge. Well, you know what? They got there because of hard work, an 11.5-month-a-year program. So all those people who are killing Greenwich, you know, keep your mouth shut and let the Cardinals get on a plane and go down there and play.
And, Mike, you know, it seems like, I mean, in basketball, teams have traveled out of state. Some teams like St. Raymond's have traveled to faraway places to play, you know, in Hawaii and, you know, places like that. Why is it taking football? I've only noticed the last couple of years that high school football teams have, you know, traveled great distances to play against perennial powerhouses. Why is it that football has kind of taken a little bit of time to catch up?
Well, you know, I think basketball, it's a little easier. You have more holidays that you can get on a plane and go. I mean, to go to Hawaii, I think Greenwich, what, they leave yesterday morning, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to go to Hawaii and you're going to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you got to be on a plane by Wednesday afternoon just to get the kids acclimated to the climate and the time change and everything like that. And plus, too, it costs a lot of money. When you fly the likes of St. Raymond's and Rice and Christ the King and Holy Cross, and you fly them all over the country, somebody's got to pick up that tab, and it's a lot easier to pick up a tab for 15 people than it is for 60. So I think that's one of the big reasons right there.
And Mike, you are somebody who gets to, you know, see a lot of the top schools in the tri-state area. Where does Greenwich fit in terms of, you know, some of those powerhouses from New Jersey and even some of the New York teams?
Well, Sean, I'll tell you this. This is the 21st year I've done high school football. This is the weakest year ever for teams in the entire tri-state. We have Don Bosco at number one. They're a very good football team, but they're not a traditional Bosco team. They play great defense. The last 2 weeks they've beaten our number 8 St. Joe's Montvale team 37-7. last week in our Snapple game of the week. They beat Bergen Catholic, our number five team, 27-5. So, you know, we have Greenwich at number seven. If they go down there and play well tonight, and I'm not talking about winning the game. I'm talking about going down there and playing well. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Sean, I've never seen Naples. But based on things that I've heard about Florida high school football, the biggest thing you hear all the time is speed. And aside from Jonathan Myers, you know, I don't know how many guys on Greenwich can run with what you hear about the speed they have down there. So I know one thing. They'll bring that northeast bravado south. And, you know, if they get punched in the face, they're going to punch back. There's no doubt about that. They will not go down there and lie down. That's for darn sure. So they might, you know, there'll be guys running faster. But knowing Greenwich and knowing the way football is played up here, they'll be punching harder.
And I've read that Florida produces 100 Division I players per year, which is a pretty amazing number.
Mike, well, you know, when you look at it, you got the Floridas, the Californias, the Ohios, the Texases, and everything like that. In this area, you have New Jersey, who's at number eight as far as producing Division I talent year in and year out. You have New York, who is at, I think it's 35. And Connecticut, despite being the third smallest state in the country, they check in at 39. Now, I don't know how many Division I players we have this year. Obviously, Jonathan Myers is a flat-out stud. But, yeah, you're going up against a whole different class when it comes to Division I football players when you head down south.
Mike, talk about Jonathan Myers. I mean, he's obviously somebody that is wanted by all the top programs around. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I love him because he's a sideline-to-sideline guy. You know, I've seen some people who go to games and they come back and I'll say, what'd you think of Myers? Hey, you know, he's okay. He's not that great of a running back. I said, whoa, guys, hold on. Wait a second. I said, did you watch him on defense? We're like, well, you know, it's easier to watch him on offense. Hey, look, the kid's going to school for free because of defense. I watched the Cardinals. They opened up the year Friday night, September 14th, up at Kennedy Stadium in Bridgeport. And they beat a very good Bridgeport Central team. I truly think that Bridgeport Central is the second-best team in the FCAC. Even though they lost to Greenwich, I think they're the second-best team. Jonathan Myers that night was at another level. The way he just runs to the football, and he doesn't tackle you, he runs through you. He's a finisher, and that's what I love most about him. You know, he's got a game face on by Thursday afternoon. I love the way he plays. He's ferocious, tenacious. When he's inside those lines, he's a mean, ugly dude, and that's why he's a Division I football player, because you know what? Division I schools don't want nice kids inside the white lines. They want them to perform well off the field, but inside the field they want mean, nasty dudes, and Myers fits that mold beautifully.
6:20 even on this Friday night. Sean Kilkelly back in the studio. We're speaking with Mike Quick of the MSG Network as we're about an hour and 10 minutes away from kickoff, Greenwich against Naples down in Florida. Mike, give me your thoughts on a couple of other players on the Greenwich High School team, quarterback Tucker Stafford and lineman Chris Bizanzo.
Well, you know, Stafford, I'll steal a line from our Jimmy Cavallo, who does the Snapple Games of the Week. He's right out of Central Casting, 6'5", big arm. When I saw him throw the ball earlier this year against Bridgeport Central, I thought he was great on crossing routes. The deep balls down the sidelines, the back kind of dropped out of the ball on a couple throws like that. But I think if I'm a Division I school, I definitely take a shot with him. There's no doubt about that. My 23rd, 24th, 25th scholarship, I'm definitely giving him a look-see, no doubt, because he's you know who he reminds me a lot of? He reminds me of a kid that played at Norwalk High School, graduated Norwalk High School in 1984, went up to Syracuse, won the Gator Bowl with Syracuse. They beat LSU that year. Kid by the name of Todd Silcox, went and played in the league for 11 years after that. 6'4", 6'5", big, strong kid, and who could throw the football. So I see some similarities. You know, your big linemen, I'll be honest. The only lineman that I've ever gone to games and really watched play after play after play was John Sullivan, because John was just a freak, and I loved to watch him play. So I'm not real good with linemen. I just know this. I used to tell everybody, and I still say this to this day, John Sullivan's the greatest lineman I've covered in 21 years, and if I'm doing this 21 years from now, he'll be the greatest high school lineman I covered in 42 years, because he was the only one that I could sit and watch and really understand what he was doing.
Wow, that's high praise.
You take New Jersey, New York, you take all of them. Nobody was better than John. Nobody.
Well, what do you think was one of the things that made John Sullivan so great? Is quickness?
Quickness. He was just a nasty, nasty dude, man. We mic'd him up for sound his first game senior year against Trumbull High School. And I still guarantee you that nose guard for Trumbull High wakes up in the middle of the night just shaking, thinking about, you know, big number 78 in the crimson, just going after him. And John was just, I mean, he was saying things that night on the microphone. It's like, wow, this kid is just downright nasty. And then what I love more than anything, third quarter, Greenwich had put the game away. John had just dominated the nose guard and the tackles in the ends. I mean, he was just knocking everybody all over the place. And he was just driving the kid into the ground, into the ground, into the ground. And he picked him up, and he said, come on, keep fighting. Hang in there. Keep fighting. You can do this. Like, he had totally destroyed his opponent, and now John was trying to build him back up for the following week. I'll never forget that moment. John Sullivan is a class act, number two rated center in America for college football. He's going to play in the league for a long time. I love that kid, and I love that family.
Wow, and Greenwich has produced so many really talented football players. They have, you know, a really good tradition of putting out some of the top football players. Why do you think that is, Mike?
You know, it's probably that midget football program they have up there in Greenwich. I forget the names and everything like that, but I know those kids in fourth and fifth grade, and they just keep rolling and pushing and going, and you grow up, you're playing ball with your buddies from fourth grade on, so you're with them for 7 years. And I think you outsmart people. I think you outthink people. I think you know how important it is when you get to the high school, because those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders look at Cardinal Stadium, and if it was Mike Ornato or now Rich Albanizio, and that's their dream, to play for those guys, to put on the Cardinal uniform and go out and play. And I think that's why. They know tradition by the time they're in sixth grade, and there is no substitute for tradition, Sean. It's the greatest thing in high school football, a program, a tradition, and it just keeps breeding and growing, and that's what Greenwich has better than anybody in the state.
And we'll actually be broadcasting the Gateway Youth Football League Championships. That's next Sunday morning, a week from this Sunday, November the 18th.
There you go.
Which gets underway at about 11 o'clock in the morning. We have a couple of priorities before that. We're talking to Mike Quick from the MSG Network. Mike, I got to ask your prediction for tonight's game.
Duquesne and Staples? You know what? Look, here's the deal. We're not supposed to root, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm rooting for Greenwich going down there. But you've got, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids getting on a plane, staying overnight in a hotel. I guess from everything I've read, just going into a football-rich atmosphere. Get through the first quarter, they'll be fine. You got to get through the first quarter. You can't have like a kickoff return or an interception return or a breakdown on special teams, because then you can't play. You can never beat speed when you're playing from behind. It's just, you know, it's like trying to put out a fire with gas. You can't do it. You get out of that first quarter even, you got a good chance. I just hope they can get out of that first quarter even. Sean, I'd be lying to you if I gave a prediction, but in my heart, yeah, I want Greenwich to go down there and win. One thing I try to do all the time is not try to be an expert on something I know so little about, and I know nothing about Naples High School other than what I've read, that they're real fast, and you got to play even or ahead if you're Greenwich High School. And then you'll be fine. But it's not like they're going, and you know, it's a little different. I would think the whole atmosphere is a little different. But then again, too, I can imagine Richie in that locker room saying, "You've got about 100 people down here that believe in you. The 50 in this room, the 50 parents in the stands, nobody else does. Go make them look foolish." And I would love to be in that locker room to hear what he says to his guys before the game, because I think that'll be an Albanizio classic.
And Mike, one more. Give us your thoughts on tonight's big game that you're going to be at, Staples and New Canaan.
You know, it's funny. You look at the size of the teams. I was in the parking lot with my son Brian and his buddy Peter throwing the football, waiting for you to call. And Staples came out, and they looked real big. And my son Brian, he's 9 years old. He's looking at New Canaan. He's like, "Dad, they don't look that big." So there's a big size differential. I think because of the rain tonight, it's going to be interesting because Westfall's had an unbelievable year for Lou Marinelli and New Canaan, throwing the ball, running the ball. Got to see if he's going to be able to throw it on a night like this. I like Staples. I like Staples in a low-scoring game. And if they win it, I love what happens out of it, is that the FCAC championship, the Staples-Greenwich game, and state playoff implications all come down to the line 10:30 Thanksgiving morning in Westport. If you can't make the game, I know you can hear it live on WGCH. If you want to see the pictures, you can turn on MSG Network, because I promise you, this year we'll have it. Last year we lost the satellite. This year we'll have it. So I like Staples in a close game, and you know, everybody will get Greenwich will get that week off. Staples will get a week off, and everybody will do it again on Thanksgiving morning.
Well, Mike, sounds really good, and I really appreciate you giving us your time. Always good to hear you and your analysis on the MSG Network. All the work you do for MSG is really top-notch, and best of luck with everything. I hope to talk to you down the line.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, Sean. I appreciate it. Make sure Sean and Tim, you know, make sure you get a prediction out of them. See what they say.
I will, Mike.
All right, buddy. I'll see you later.
All right, Mike. That was Mike Quick from the MSG Network, and we thank him for checking in with us tonight. 6:28 on this Friday night. So glad you tuned in to AM 1490 WGCH. We're taking a timeout. We'll be back with Sean Patrick Boley. Okay, we're back here on AM 1490 WGCH in Greenwich. Sean Kilkelly back in the studio, 6:31, as we are about an hour away from Naples and Greenwich, getting it on down in Naples, Florida, in what will be an old-fashioned slobber knocker. And here to talk about it will be Sean Patrick Boley from the Connecticut Post. Sean, thanks for coming on and giving us a few minutes. How you doing tonight?
Talking about slobber knockers, I'm standing right now in a puddle of mud right outside of Dunning Stadium here in New Canaan. So how am I doing? Time will tell on that. I got an umbrella, luckily.
Yeah, nasty night in the state of Connecticut, just cold and rainy. Nothing like what it is down in Florida, in Naples, Florida. It's going to be 57 degrees at game time, clear skies with very few winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. North-northeast for those of you scoring at home. And Sean, you do a tremendous job with covering all of football for the state of Connecticut for the Connecticut Post. I know that you're disappointed that you're not down in Florida to see this Greenwich-Naples game. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, on this game, I wrote a column about it in today's paper, and I've been kind of building up. I couldn't wait to write this column because I it's one of those games I'd love to see live, and I'm disappointed it's not going to be on TV because I want to watch it on, I want to eventually watch it. I'm hoping when the guys get back from Florida that they, you know, they allow me to take a look at their game tapes because I just love to see how they actually match up. I think a lot of Connecticut and talking to a lot of people from not just the FCAC, not just Fairfield County, but, you know, beyond those borders, I think everybody's anxious to see how little tiny Connecticut stacks up against a big-time power down in Florida, one of the best football states in the country. And I think that's exactly what this is all about. We'll see, do we actually match up? We have a lot. This is one of the best years we've Connecticut's ever had as far as Division I recruits. And, you know, I think this is the perfect year to see, you know, how we stack up against a superpower, I guess. I guess it's a third-world country versus, like, a superpower.
So, I mean, could it be an indictment on Connecticut football if, let's say this game is a complete blowout. What if it's a 35-0 game? Does that say that Connecticut football is that much, you know, down compared to Florida football?
Well, no, I wouldn't exactly say that. I mean, this is a really, I mean, outside of this game counting for Greenwich State playoff hopes, they lose the game, they're going to have to win that, likely win that Staples game on Thanksgiving. But as far as, you know, it's basically, outside of that, it's a win-win situation for Connecticut football and the Greenwich Cardinals. They can go down there and absolutely get clobbered. You know, there's no 50-point rule down there, so, you know, they can actually get destroyed down there. And it would be like, well, we all kind of figured that's what would happen. I mean, you know, Florida's a big-time power. They're a great team that allows basically nobody to score on them. They score on everybody and, you know, district champs, and they're just a great team. And we go down there and get hammered. You know what? we kind of expected it, and we thought Giants would give them a little bit better. But if they go down there and play close and lose, it's a feather in our cap. That's for sure. We have a good – I mean, it just shows us we can play football up in the Northeast as well. We can go down there. We can bang heads with the best of them. I mean, maybe not pound for pound the entire state, but at least our best team could go down there and do some damage. And then if they win, well, I just leave that to the imagination if they win. Let's just put it this way. I talking to Mars Petraccio earlier in the week. I asked him, because his parents down there, I got a funny story about that, too. His parents live down in Naples, and he was telling me if we go down there and we beat them, it's going to be a black eye for Florida football. I mean, they cannot lose to us. Us, we're the tiny little Connecticut, the nutmeg state, you know. They think we wear fur caps and, rah-rah our team and then go on our merry way. We're not hardcore at all. They're hardcore. If they lose to us, they can't lose to us.
And, you know, that brings up a something that came up on the message board today on the Connecticut Post, where I read a lot of people who are, you know, definitely, against the fact that Greenwich is going down to Florida to play against Naples when there are teams in Connecticut that they would rather see them play against. What do you think about that type of criticism?
I think it's a bunch of hooey, really. I mean, first of all, if I didn't see anybody banging Greenwich's door down when they realized they had a bye date. And from what I gather, Rich Albanese tried to looked around the state and really there's nobody who really wanted to kind of stir his fancy. I mean, could he have picked up a team somewhere? I mean, just a bye week and matching teams up. I don't think we would have seen a good matchup anyway. So, I mean, they're looking for a challenge. Let's be honest. And that's another thing. Greenwich is definitely looking for a challenge. They've just completely taken on all comers and successfully just destroyed them pretty much. With the exception of maybe Staples, they've pretty much taken on all comers. They've beaten Southington when Southington's at its best, and you know they've done their bit. I mean, now it's time to see what this team's made of. And they have two Division I guys, and Jonathan Myers and Chris Bizanzo, and they have some good players who all across the board. And if they're going to do it, this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. I do not fault them at all for playing this game.
Sean, you wrote about three guys today who are. You mentioned two of them. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Tucker Stafford, Chris Bizanzo, and Jonathan Myers.
Myers is obviously one of the best players in the state. Clearly the case. I mean, Michigan, Florida, and about 20 other Division I programs couldn't be wrong. The kid's explosive. He's big. He's fast. I mean, Staples has got a really good back here named Josh Causal. He's a big linebacker who's just accepted a not scholarship, but he's going to Yale, and he's going to play football at Yale University, which is tremendous. Now, and someone's saying, well, he's a good player. I'm like, yeah, he is a good player, but Myers is 10 times as fast as Josh Causal is. He kid's explosive. He's all over the field. Nobody can stop him. You look at JonathanMyers.com, his website, and you just see the proof is right there. Bizanzo, just a rock on the offensive line. I haven't really got to see him much this year. I did see him a little bit last year, I kept my eye on him, and I thought he would be a pretty good player. I don't really know a heck of a lot about him. I think he did play the scrimmage that I saw early in the year, but I can't really talk too much about him. I don't know him enough. And Stafford, really kind of surprising, and I know they've had some quarterbacks over the years that have been pretty good at Greenwich. Joe Pilecki comes to mind, and a bunch of other guys, but this kid that just kind of kept on the sidelines. You never really heard much about him. And then as a senior, what is he, 6'4", whatever he is, he's this tall guy. He's got a nice arm. He runs an offense well. He's a vet back there. He was a complete surprise. He's got a scholarship offer, I guess, or an offer to play up at New Hampshire already. And he's a guy that he's filled the job admirably at quarterback, and maybe even then some. I mean, Rich Albanese is so confident in him that they switched to a spread offense. I mean, why do you go move away from your bread and butter to go to a spread offense when unless you think your quarterback's a pretty good player? So, clearly some great players on that Greenwich team.
6:39 on AM 1490 WGCH in Greenwich. Sean Kilkelly speaking with Sean Patrick Boley of the Connecticut Post. Sean, is the Greenwich Cardinals football team the best in the state of Connecticut? And if not, who would pose a challenge against them?
Oh, man, the million-dollar question. I vote in the state polls. I've been voting the state polls for a few years now. I saw the best team in the state last night in Seymour, and that would be Ansonia. Is Greenwich number one? Is Ansonia number one? I think I saw the best team last night, although they did some things that kind of made me think. And I was kind of thinking that, you know, like, it doesn't look like the quarterback may be that strong. There's Jeff Seymour, which is a great team, by the way, in the Valley. Seymour definitely, might have poked some holes in the armor up there at Ansonia. But right now, and they've won 23 straight. Their line, when you watch them come out of a stadium or out of a locker room, their line looks like a college line. And they got one of the best backs you'll ever see. He doesn't look like much, but Alex Thomas is the best. I guess pound for pound, the best high school football player in the state. I mean, he's only gonna end up at Yale. He's not like the caliber, the Division I talented caliber of Jonathan Myers. But as far as like, and he's only a one white player, so it's kind of a loaded question actually when you talk about Thomas. But he's I won't say the best player, maybe the best running back in the state. He's just incredible. He got the ball 44 times last night. He had 169 yards and pretty much won that game by himself. His line helps out. But I think that's the best team. I think Greenwich is right there, though. No question that Greenwich is right there. And I think that Greenwich, depending, and I was telling this to Phil Soto-Ortiz the other night, that I think Greenwich, if they go down to Naples and put on a good showing, it's really going to make me think. If they put on a good showing against a team that only allowed 40 points all season and most of those points in garbage time, if they go down to Florida, hostile crowd and everything, it's going to make me think. I don't know about the rest of the voters, but if they go down there and lose and it's a close game, it's going to make me think. If they go down there and get blown out, I don't know. It's a good question. It won't make me think it's hard. I mean, I'll have to just keep Ansonia there. But, as Greenwich goes down there and wins, beats Naples, I think I'm switching my vote. You heard it here first, folks. I think I'll switch my vote. That's a definite.
So, Sean, that leads me to a prediction for tonight's game. Mike Quick didn't want to go down that road. You seem like you're a little bit more of a risk taker. What's your prediction for the Naples Greenwich game?
Well, you know, my prediction's out there, unfortunately, so I can't duck like Mike can. My prediction ended up in my paper. It ended up on our website and in the Fort Myers News Press. I said Naples 34, Greenwich 20. Not that I didn't think John Morelli would miss an extra point or anything. I just think that they would be scrambling and trying to go for two, maybe late. I don't know. But I think that it's going to be close, at least in the first half. And I think just the travel, the crowd, just the atmosphere, all the shenanigans, and the fact that Florida will quite literally pull out all the stops. They'll pull out all the stops in there. Everything's going to go Greenwich. Won't go Greenwich's way that night, that's for sure, tonight. That's for sure. At least that's what I think. So I think it's going to be close. Their talent, Drench's talent, will keep them in the game, and Myers is going to be great. But in the end, I think they win by about two touchdowns.
Sean Kilkelly here on AM 1490 WGCH in Greenwich. And, you know, if you Googled Greenwich versus Naples today, the Connecticut Post Online came up first, and then my blog came up second and third. So it was kind
your
of
blog
like...
Sean, what's your blog?
rangersand7.blogspot.com. So I beat out a whole bunch of other folks who have many more resources to, you know, take over the top few spots on Google. But the early bird gets the worm, and I was able to make my presence felt. Sean, give us a minute or so on the game that you're going to be at tonight, which is Staples and New Canaan.
Well, this is obviously for the second spot in the FCAC, and the last time I was here to watch in Naples, I got Naples on my brain. The last time I saw Staples come down here, it was one of the best high school football games I've ever seen. They rallied DJ Stetskovich and Brian Levine, rallied them from 10 down, about 4 minutes left, and just completely just deflated the hopes of the New Canaan Rams. I actually like New Canaan in this game, just for the fact that Staples has not been really the dominant team what a lot of people think they are. They've got a great defense, which really, in a night like this, might probably be worth more than it normally is. But I just think New Canaan, overall, they've got Charlie Westfall. They've just been on a better roll of late. They've been able to just roll through teams and barely break sweat. They haven't had much of a challenge since losing that first game to St. Joseph, and that was just one of those games that just kind of got caught off guard, maybe looking past them, and St. Joseph played the game of his life. I think Buchanan's on the best roll right now. Staples has been banged up. Their defense is going to have to bail them out if they're going to want to win this game. But still, we don't really know what happened with their quarterback, Mike Cimella. We're still wondering if he's going to play. Even if he does, I don't know if he's going to be a difference maker or anything. I think Buchanan tonight, on a rainy night, an awful night on their field, I think Buchanan pulls this one out.
Wow, so you're... Wow, New Canaan.
Yeah, I'm in the minority, to be honest with you. I know Morris is going to Staples coach Morris Petraccio is going to, he's going to jab me a few times, especially if they win. But gut feeling right now, I think this is New Canaan's night. I mean, Staples maybe you can't, the two coaches are great coaches, so you can't say one coach is going to outcoach the other or. Sheer talent. I think the teams match up pretty well talent-wise. I just think New Canaan right now is on the better roll. The only thing about it is that I would think that Staples defense in the rain I was going to say mud and slump, but there's no mud down here on this field turf. But I think Staples defense keep it close. I think New Canaan will be able to win it.
Well, Sean, thanks very much for giving us a few minutes of your time tonight. You did a great job, and I hope everybody listening checks you out at ConnecticutPost.com. You really do a fine job. It's probably one of my top choices, along with the next guy that we're going to be having up, Tim Perry. So, Sean, have a great night, and we'll be hearing from you throughout the evening with updates on the Staples New Canaan game. We'll talk to you later on.
Hey, Sean, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Sean. Have a great night, and we will indeed be talking more with Sean Patrick Boley as he will be keeping us up to date on what's going on with Staples and New Canaan. We will take a timeout, and then Tim Perry joins us here as we are rolling along about 45 minutes away from Naples and Greenwich. You're listening to AM 1490 WGCH. .648 even on this rainy, cold Friday night. And what better way to spend your evening than listening to AM 1490 WGCH and our coverage of the big game, Naples and Greenwich, an undefeated battle. Two teams that are undefeated, Naples, they come in at 9-0, hosting Greenwich, who is 8-0. It'll be 57 degrees when kickoff arrives. Our next guest, Tim Perry, who writes FCACFootballBlog.com. He's one of the finest writers in the state of Connecticut, very knowledgeable about high school football. And Tim Perry, nice enough to give us a few minutes. Tim, how you doing tonight?
Sean, doing great. Trying to keep dry over here at the New Canaan Staples game.
And that's a game that I just talked to Sean Patrick Boley of the Connecticut Post, and he predicted that New Canaan would defeat Staples. But before we get to that, Tim, your thoughts on the big game tonight between Greenwich and Naples?
Well, I think this is a fantastic opportunity, win or lose, for Greenwich to show the rest of the country, really, because everybody's got their opinion on this, but to show that in Connecticut they can play some football. Now, even if Greenwich loses by, say, three touchdowns, or if they win by three touchdowns, I'm sure college scouts can be down there. This is a great opportunity for the state to say, hey, this is an area where you could be recruiting some of your athletes for D1 football.
So either way, there's in a lot of ways, Greenwich has nothing to lose going into this football game.
You know, I'd say it's a win-win situation. The only thing you have to worry about, especially with the FCA championship game coming up, is injuries and, the possibility of being demoralized. I mean, who knows how the mind of a teenager really works. They could lose by one touchdown and take it into next week or the week after that as we're not as good as we thought we were, or they could just shake it right off and get right back to business as soon as they get back off the plane and at JFK.
And, Tim, I could throw another angle into it, is that they could win this game, and then it could actually make them feel overconfident, and then they could come back and lose in the FCAC game and maybe not be as well prepared. So, like you said, you never know how the mind works, and you know, how these things can, you know, make people overconfident or really kind of shatter somebody's confidence. But Tim, you know, this is a game where both sides have a lot of talented football players. I know that, you know, Greenwich is definitely one of the best teams in the state. Talk about the talent level on this Greenwich High School football team.
This is right now, I would have to say, I mean, I have not seen Antonia, I have seen Bunnell, so I do have to say that, yes, Greenwich is definitely one of the top teams in the state, if not the number one team right now. I mean, we know they have a lot of returning from last year from a completely different offensive system, so they have a lot of guys who can run the ball on a team that's built right now to throw the ball. So there's many things they can do on offense. They have a defense, a very unheralded defense of players like Bo Brunelli on there who can just we could just dominate another team's running game. And as I'm looking at this, too, you know, Maple's very much a team that's built like Wilton High School. And we saw what Greenwich did to Wilton. So there's very much a possibility that Greenwich could be coming back with a win.
You're listening to AM 1490 WGCH in Greenwich. Sean Kilkelly back in the studio. And the game will be starting in about 40 minutes from now. Rob Adams will be on with the pregame show at 7:05. Tim, talk about some of the guys, the more talented guys on the Cardinals team. Tucker Stafford, I mean, a lot of people are so used to seeing Greenwich being purely a running football team. And Tucker Stafford, who's, you know, just been absolutely outstanding for the Greenwich Cardinals. What do you think about his game?
Now, you know, I talked to Richie Albanese about Tucker earlier in the season, and he had a shin injury, lower leg injury last year, and very well could have been the starting quarterback for them, which makes me think that, hey, maybe they would have gone to that to the start offense last year. But the kid is dead on. He's got an accurate arm. He's got a strong arm. And he's got the size the college recruiters are looking at and saying, hey, this guy's already Division I material. And it says a lot when teams like UConn and New Hampshire and Duke are all of a sudden saying, I know you haven't started a varsity game for this year, but we want you to be with us.
And, of course, the guy that everybody talks about, I mean, he's probably one of the most talented guys, top 3, 4, 5 most talented football players in the state of Connecticut. And, of course, that would be Jonathan Myers.
Jonathan Myers, you know, that's I know that the coach down in Naples is very concerned about Jonathan Myers. He's a talent beyond talent. And beyond that, I mean, he's a brainiac. He's a brainiac, too. I mean, he's got, like, what, a 4.3 GPA. He's got it's not football factors that are looking at him as much as academics as well. The kid is smart. I mean, this is something I've noticed with him in the spread, is that he gets the ball, and he's got the speed and the size to be able, and the knowledge to be able to take a step first, think about where he's going to go with the ball, and then hit the hole.
So, Tim, that brings us up to a prediction for tonight. Mike Quick earlier, he wouldn't give a prediction for the game. Sean Patrick Boley, he likes Naples winning 34-20. And what are your predictions for tonight's game between Naples and Greenwich?
You know what? I can't defer because I know there's thousands of viewers listening, and they want to know what kind of predictions out there. I would have to say Naples is going to win this game, but Greenwich is going to keep it close. Let's say it's going to be a 35-31 game.
And Tim, that brings us to a game that a lot of folks in Greenwich are interested in as well, and that would be the Staples-New Canaan game. As I mentioned, Sean Patrick Boley, he likes New Canaan in this one. What are your thoughts on that game?
You know, I like New Canaan in this game, but here's the elements though right now. Right now you have a very rainy turf. It's not a night for New Canaan to be able to throw the ball. Staples last week showed that they're peaking at the right time. I think it's going to be a very close game, just like all these battles between the two teams are. But I really think New Canaan's going to pull it out.
All right, Tim. Well, we appreciate your time, and we will speak to you later on in the evening. I know you'll be keeping me up to date on the Staples-New Canaan game. Tim, thanks very much for talking to us.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's such a huge night.
That was Tim Perry from FCAC Football Blog. .com, as he was nice enough to come on and spend a couple of minutes going over the big game down in Florida between Greenwich and Naples, and then talking about the Staples-New Canaan game that's also going to be going on. We'll have updates on that one throughout the night. Sean Patrick Boley, he'll come back for a couple of minutes at halftime and tell us about what's going on there. And then Tim Parry at the conclusion of this game between Greenwich and Naples, he'll come on for a minute or two and give us a quick recap of what took place between Staples and New Canaan. Coming up on 6:56 on this Friday evening, I'm Sean Kilkelly back in the studio at Lewis and Mason Street on a cold, rainy night. So glad you would tune in tonight for this extended pregame show. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will have the pregame show. Rob Adams conducted an interview with Coach Mike Ornato, former coach of the Greenwich Cardinals, who, matter of fact, he was mentioned in the enshrinement speech when Steve Young went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Steve Young played for Coach Ornato at Greenwich back in 1984. So Coach Ornato, one of the legendary high school football coaches to come out of the tri-state area. So looking forward to hearing the interview that Rob did with Coach Ornato. 6:56, we'll take a timeout, and then we will get set for the pregame show. You're listening to AM 1490 WGCH.
The voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Sean Kilkelly back in the studio on this Friday evening. We are getting set. About a half hour from now, the Greenwich Cardinals taking on the Naples Golden Eagles. I want to thank Mike Quick, Sean Patrick Boley, and Tim Parry for joining me in the last hour. Rob Adams sat down with the former head coach of the Greenwich Cardinals, Mike Ornato. Let's go and join Rob and Mike.
Certainly one man who needs no introduction to Greenwich football fans is former head coach Mike Ornato, who ran the program for 25 years before handing it off to the current coach, Coach Rich Albanizio. Coach, thanks for joining me.
Hey, I'm surprised that you found me, Rob. I thought the old soldiers just kind of fade away.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I've been doing these games for a bunch of years now, and I always thought we're going to find a way to get you back on the air with us. And
well, here we are.
Here we are, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, it certainly is. Hey, let's start by talking about those circumstances. What role, if any, did you kind of play in facilitating this whole Naples-Greenwich game?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely zero. I had nothing to do with it. It took me by surprise. I got a phone call from somebody. I think it was my son called me from, he picked it up on the Internet. He pulled up the, I guess, the Greenwich Time on the Internet and said, "Hey, Dad," you know, he called me up and said, "Guess what?" And I said, "Are you sure? No, that can't be. There's no way." Because when I was there, we played, I think, 10 or 11 out-of-state games. We played some of the, we thought at the time, some of the better teams up in the Northeast there. But we weren't allowed to go anywhere past a neighboring state. So when he said they were coming to Florida, I said, "Well, are you sure? Check that out."
Well, it is a fantastic thing to see. And I know you don't live too far from that area, right? You're somewhere in the Naples area, is that correct?
Yeah, we're just maybe 25 minutes from Naples High School.
Tell me about your excitement in all of this building up, because up here it's been total wall-to-wall excitement, and it seems to build with every day. So I'm curious what your perspective is and the region's perspective.
Well, there's a lot of people from Lower Connecticut living in this area, Naples area, Marco Island, where we're at. And, you know, a couple of old friends of mine, Lou Orlando and Joanne Zalone, used to cope at Stanford Catholic. I see them quite often, and I've spoken to them in the past few weeks, and there's some people right on Marco, I guess, that from Greenwich itself, a retired policeman, and a whole bunch of folks. So there's a lot of interest being generated down here, from what I understand.
And certainly a lot of interest up here. I hear tickets are pretty much all but gone at this point, and it's just going to be an absolutely fantastic night. And I don't need to even ask whether or not you're going to be in the building that night.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's a big night in Naples. They're really pumping it up in the papers. They actually, even from what I hear, moved their homecoming game to Friday night to supplement the entire, issue. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I heard the exact same thing about homecoming, so it should be great. How close have you stayed to high school football? First, paying attention to Greenwich, but then also paying attention to high school football in your region.
Not very much. The only football I see down here, high school ball, is they do the sectionals and the divisional playoffs, state playoffs on television.
and I get a chance to see the various levels, and, you know, I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen so far. Of course, that's all championship level. I haven't seen, like, the average high school play, so, you know, it's tough to compare. But from what I understand, both programs, and from what I know from Greenwich, of course, and of Naples, both programs kind of reflect each other. You know, they're very well coached. They've got good athletes and a lot of tradition. So it should be a good matchup.
It really should be a good matchup. And your relationship with Coach Al goes back, I know, a long time. I've read and, you know, talked to Coach Al many times over the years. And just give me kind of your perspective about your relationship with him.
Well, you know, he was my captain in 1967. It's going back a ways. My captain, he was a great captain. He was an even better football player. He's a tight end and a great receiver. And he went on to UConn from there. But and then we crossed paths over the years coaching. He was at Portchester, and then he went to Stanford Catholic, and we played every Thanksgiving for a while there. And we got a long and storied history, as well as the entire coaching staff. As far as I know, every one of the coaches, they remain. When he took over the job, my whole coaching staff stayed intact. And there were players, coaches that had been with me, also as former players, they had been with me up until, I don't know, 20. One, my line coach was there 25 years. I had a couple other coaches in the 20s and a few others in the teens. So that bunch was a quality group and had a lot to do with the success we achieved.
And certainly I should mention that you had Coach Al actually at Portchester High before you moved to Greenwich. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Now, you had your own success at Portchester and then moved over to Greenwich. Tell me about kind of your own coaching background.
Well, I started out... my first 2 years of coaching, I graduated from Ithaca College upstate New York, and I coached there for 2 years and as an assistant line coach. And then I took a head coaching job in a little tiny town up at the top of the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, Waterloo, New York. And it was a great town, some great folks. We still have friends. We still visit there. We had some success there. And as a matter of fact, interestingly, the head football coach of the New York Giants was my star running back for 3 years up there.
It's
Tom Coughlin.
It's funny you bring that up. As I was getting ready to talk to you today, I said, you know, let me see what I can find on the internet. So I put your name into Google, and darned if your name doesn't come up with that very person, Tom Coughlin, talking about Mike Ornato, and I'm saying, wait a minute, can this really be the same? And here you are confirming it for me. It's just wild.
Yeah, the same guy. We had a pretty good run there, and then I went down to Portchester, and I was there. I'm 5 or 6. I did 38 years overall, so it's hard to just retract, and I got to look up the old notes to figure out how many years I've been where. But of course, the last very satisfying, rewarding years were at Greenwich. 25 years of those.
We should move on to talking about Greenwich and the success you had at Cardinal Stadium over the years. A remarkable 25 years, over 200 wins. Still one of the best records, winning percentage-wise, in the state of Connecticut. In fact, I was just looking in the record book, and coming into this year, there's you, and then there's a guy named Albanizio right below you.
Yeah, well, we had some good times here. We had some great athletes. We're proud of what we accomplished, and of course, I think it's in our records. We did get an opportunity to send, I think, 6 guys onto the NFL, 2 of which lasted, Kenny Bell with the Broncos for about 6 years, and, of course, the other guy, that left-handed quarterback that played with San Francisco.
Not your average high school football coach gets mentioned in the Hall of Fame acceptance speech of a new Hall of Famer like Steve Young.
Well, I heard the speech. I heard the speech his father made, the presentation speech, and he mentioned the fact that when Steve played at Greenwich High, we never threw the ball. Well, that's not true. We threw the ball a lot. Well, we called passing plays. Let me put it that way. We called a lot of, because I personally called the plays. We called a lot of passing plays. But, he was such a great runner in high school. Well, even at the NFL level, you know. Anyway, this is about Greenwich High School and Rich Albanizio and that great coaching staff they got.
It's a great coaching staff, and it's a group that I've gotten to know over the years, and they add young blood to it all the time, and it has to be something that somewhere in your heart you have to be very proud of this group.
Hey, not somewhere. All my heart is so proud of these guys. These guys played for me. They were loyal athletes for me. They came back, and they coached for me for all of those years, and I tell you, we were a very well-knit, strong group. I'm really proud of them.
Tell me about a player, just to go back in time a bit. One player that maybe we know about the Ken Bells and we know about the Steve Youngs, but how about one of those other guys that maybe didn't get all the press that you'd like to talk about for a moment? Somebody jump out at you?
Yeah, somebody jumps out. My favorite player?
Sure.
It was a guy in 1979. As a matter of fact, it was Steve Young's senior year. It was not as it was. Steve was our ball club. The rest of the team, we got to the championship and we got beat by Darien, a good Darien team. But because of Steve, they were overachievers. But we had a kid, and I'll go through this because it's a long story. But we had a kid that played offensive halfback, played defensive end, kicked off, kicked extra points, was on the JV wrestling team, played town league hockey, played some baseball, played in the band. Was an honor student and a terrific all-around person, and he only had one arm.
Wow.
And he had a hell of a season for us. He blocked punts. We put him at left halfback so we could use his right arm, which was his good arm, to catch the pitch. We ran the option then. And he never asked for any quarter, never needed help get dressed or tie his shoe, nothing. He did every drill with everybody else and just an all-around terrific guy. And we got to the championship game, and the unthinkable happens. In the second quarter, he breaks his good arm.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't tell anybody he finishes the game. We don't find out until after the game. Well, the guy goes on. He plays 4 years at Harvard. He was, he never started, but he played 4 years at Harvard. Was a candidate for a Rhodes Scholarship. Okay. And I lost contact with him the last couple of years, but he was working in real estate down in New York City last I heard, but... You know, we talk about favorite guys, and when guys used to come in with, like, chapped lips or diaper rash or what the hell ever they had, I tell them about old Will Salibi playing that championship game with no arm and a broken arm and, not telling us. It was an incredible story.
Coach, I know I'm very excited about this game on Friday night, and I imagine you are too. And after all these years of my calling Cardinal football, to finally be able to sit down and talk to you for a few minutes, this has been a real thrill for me.
Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad to be a part of it. Like I said, I'm surprised I got tracked down, but I'm happy. We're looking forward. Some of my family's coming in, my son, my daughter, and some of my grandchildren who are pretty much grown up now. Rocky DiCarlo, my old line coach, is coming down with his son, staying with us for a couple of days, so it should be an exciting event.
Well, either way, it should be a really good time, and hopefully Connecticut football represents themselves extremely well, as I know...
They will.
And I know deep in your heart that's exactly what you want, because you were a big part of this for so long.
Well, and I really missed it for a couple of years. I'm getting over it now, but, it was a big part of my life. 38 years is a big chunk, and everybody asked me, what the heck are you doing? Why are you retiring? When I announced my retirement, and I said, it's been 38 years, and they said, so... And I said, what do you do? Well, he said, I'm a bank teller. I said, you want to do it 38 years? Oh, no. Well, you reach a point where, But it was a great run. We had some great, 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 great people and a great environment there, and we were just very, very fortunate.
Coach Mike Ornato, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
AM 1490 WGCH, that was Rob Adams and former head coach of the Greenwich Cardinals, Mike Ornato. Just a programming note. At the conclusion of the Greenwich Cardinals game against Naples, we will be broadcasting on tape delay Fairfield University basketball, their first game of the season as they take a visit to Wake Forest. We'll take a timeout, and then we will get ready for Greenwich Cardinals football, the big game against Naples, right here on AM 1490 WGCH.